I read yesterday when we were street preaching at a farmer's market, a busy farmer's market, Revelation 20. It's about the book of life. Today we're outside a UTC mall in Sarasota on public sidewalk. So Jesus says that you're going to be judged by your works, whether or not your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Why is that? Because we're working our way to heaven? No. Christ did a perfect work for us. Okay? Christ did a perfect work for us at the stake, the cross. And Christ calls his people to obedience. Christ calls his people to repentance. Christ calls his people to believe what he has done and what he has said. And if you believe that, and if you repent, place your faith in his shed blood, and if you repent, and if you cry out to God, he'll see a willing vessel, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching the gospel again. That's really all we focus on, because that's what the world needs. And we point out things like Christmas and worldliness and churchianity along the way to show them their need. But if you cry out to God, he'll give you his Holy Spirit. And then when you're born again, like when you're married to a person that you love and want to be faithful to, what's the fruit? That you go and cheat on them, beat them, abuse them? No. The fruit is you love them, care for them, are faithful to them, work together with them every day, every month, every year. No allowance for adultery in any way. How come American Christians do spiritual adultery all over the place? Yeah. American Christians practice spiritual adultery. What is that? Well, they link the Spirit of God, supposedly, like with Christmas and Easter and Good Friday, and then they link it with all kinds of false ways, and they offer to God strange fire that does not honor God in any way. In fact, it angers him because he hates every false way. Psalm 119:104. So we're just lifting up the truth today to our neighbors, telling you that you must repent, telling you you have to turn from every false way, telling you that Christ is a glorious Savior, so worthy to be lifted up, worthy to be praised, and that your works, going back to Revelation 20, your works are going to be shown by your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does speak. I would say that also means out of the abundance of your heart, your life does live. If you love football more than anything, you're going to talk about football more than anything. And you love hunting and fishing more than anything. I see these guys. I used to be a hunting, fishing idolater. You talk and do hunting and fishing more than anything. If you love Christ and his truth, you're going to be more about him and his word and his truth than anything else. Oh yeah, you got families to raise. You got to work a job. I get it. You got to eat. You got to sleep. There's about five things that godly people do. And I'm aiming this at what Jesus did and Paul and Peter. Ready? They worked and they slept. All right? They ministered the gospel. They studied. They fellowshipped. And they restored themselves in God's creation, not fleshly entertainment. That's about all they did. Go find anywhere else in the scriptures they did anything else. They didn't. They were all about the body, the word, the spirit, the kingdom of God, worked to support themselves, unlike today's modern pastors and priests that are money-taking hirelings or ministries selling the things of God. I just exposed a ministry, and they have a feminized picture of Jesus in a t-shirt with a long hair. Long hair. For $20, you can get that t-shirt picture. That simply is not of God. That simply is not of God. That simply is of a feminized Jesus of culture. And so all of these things will be works that you will do in your life that are worthy and consistent with the Word of God. And if it's not consistent with the Word of God, it has to be repented of. It has to be thrown out. It has to be stopped. Sir, did you know the culture and Christmas is deceiving you and your family? You got to follow Christ in spirit and truth. We love our neighbors. You got to repent. You got to be hungry for the truth of God. You got to want Christ more than anything. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. What does that verse mean? Seek ye first. That means it's the goal of your life. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's number one. seek ye first. And then what's the kingdom of God? Well, it would be his word, the gospel, his people. It would be all of those things that make up the kingdom of God, not the world, not Christmas, not football, not hunting and fishing idolatry, not pride and vanity. All of these things make up the kingdom of God, his word, his spirit, his people, his ways. That's what we're told to contend for. And so think about all of that. What are you living for? Why are you living lies and false ways? Why are you living in sin and worldliness? Why are you keeping man-made traditions that Jesus says voids your worship of God? Ponder that today, neighbors. Loving our neighbor, loving God most of all, telling the truth that you're going to lose your soul lest you repent and seek the kingdom of God. Unless you seek the kingdom of God, you're going to lose your soul. You need to repent and turn. There is no life outside of the truth of Jesus Christ. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But it's not faith alone, grace alone, I just believe in Jesus. No. Do you believe in Jesus enough to come out of the world and follow him? Do you believe in Jesus enough to repent and seek the kingdom of God? Do you believe in Jesus enough to reject Satan's culture? How has the biblical gospel changed your life? Ask yourself, how has the biblical gospel changed your life? When was your life totally transformed by Christ and his word? That is the great commandment, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if you're living your own way, if you're living for the kingdom of Satan, you have no hope. Your hope has to be in the word of God, the truth of God, the ways of God. If you're just walking through this life, living the way you want to live, you can have autonomy to do that. Autonomy means you want self-rule. I want to rule myself. I want to walk the way I want, dress the way I want, live the way I want, do what I want. You can have autonomy today. You have a free will. One day when you die, you're going to stand before a holy God, and he's going to say, did you know my son? Did you know of my word, the Bible? Did you strive to obey it and let me rule your life in every way? If not, if you don't do that, the gospel, ma'am, you need the gospel to eternal life. Ma'am, a metal cross isn't going to save you. You're not good outside of Christ. No, the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, they're lying to you. If your life isn't transformed and you're worldly, the Bible says in James 4:4, to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. You're an enemy of God if you like the world's entertainment, fashion, politics, news, music. You're an enemy of God. We don't want you to be an enemy of God. We constantly see people telling us we're of God, we're okay. Jesus said in the last days they'll be saying peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes on them. He also said in Matthew 7, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we knew you. And he says, away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's somebody that lives and practices sin. I used to be that way. I'm no better than anybody, but I'm different today. I'm different. I follow the word of God. I follow the ways of God. And I keep myself unspotted from the world. James 1, perfect religion. Satan created Sunday and Saturday religion. It's not unspotted from the world. It's full of worldliness. So ask yourself, what are you living for? Check out don'tperish.com. We have thousands of articles to teach you for free. We don't want your money. My wife's ready to talk to any woman that wants help. Loving our neighbor. Don't lose your soul following all these false ways. Lift up Christ. Seek after him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be obeyed and honored on this day, every day of your life that is fleeting. James 2 says, your life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. So I walked up, there's a eatery there, and I walked up and there's some people and the waitresses came out. And I found it's interesting. Some waitresses came out, they're like 15 feet from me listening. Two of them. I walk up to Sister Amen here. That was interesting, Sister Amen. So three waitresses came out. I found it interesting. Two of them were laughing and la, 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 la.
And the one was standing
They walked there. Away and the one stood there, never laughed one bit, and I could see she was soaking up what I was saying, so I kind of preached right to her. And she turned around and walked away. So there you go. Once again, she's got our website. She sees a godly lady ready to help her.
I smiled at her.
Yep, she can come out after her on her break or after work. This is why we do this. What we do affects people, whether it angers them, whether they're indifferent, or whether they're seeking the Word of God. What we do is definitely, definitely effectual.
Oh, yeah.
Amen, Sister Robin?
Amen. I agree.
And by the way, today I just got an email from a man all the way across the country, a house church, that says, we found your website, we've been watching, we agree on doctrine, we'll see where that goes. But he was encouraged by what we do, and they're watching. So we get that all the time, and we see, because of the internet, people see what we're doing. People see that we're lifting up the truth. People see that we're different, not better. We're definitely different than the people around us. Praise God, right, Sister Armin?
Amen, that's awesome.
All right, we'll go back to our witnessing now. So we're here today loving our neighbor, telling you that you're being swept away into falsehoods and lies, neighbors. You can't follow Jesus Christ and the culture. Jesus said this, he gave us all kinds of truth. No man can serve two masters. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. You're serving two masters, the world, and some of you claim Christ. You can't do that. Have you been set apart for Jesus Christ in how you live in every way? Have you come to the kingdom of God through the shed blood of Jesus? Are you living a life that's godly and holy? Are you living a life that honors God in every one of your ways? Are you living a life that is pure to Christ? Or are you living a life that's full of flesh and selfishness and autonomy? I'm going to do what I want every way I want. No, that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is your life lived for Christ, abiding in his word and his ways. And what's interesting is most Americans claim Jesus. They don't even know the Bible. They don't even know the word of God. Yet they claim to follow Jesus. I have a question. How do you follow Jesus if you don't even know the scriptures? Test yourself, sort of the biblical gospel. Wrath is coming. You're an old man like me. Death is coming. And you'll be judged one day. We don't want you to be judged outside of Christ. The churches are lying to you. You got to be holy, sir. Obedient and holy. And walk in all of his ways. Lest you do that, you have no hope of eternal life to come. So we get a lot of thumbs up Christianity out here. So let's talk about thumbs up Christianity. People walk by, they can't open the Bible, they can't refute what we're saying in Scripture, they give you the thumbs up. You can't have a thumbs up as you live like the world. You can't have a thumbs up if you live like the world and you claim Jesus. That's a false Jesus. Christ makes the narrow way, and we love our neighbor enough to tell them the truth. Test yourself, sir. We love you. Check it out. Make sure you're walking after Christ and not the culture. Another gospel card just went out to a man. He thanked me and walked away. People see that we love our neighbor. We're peaceful out here. We don't get in people's way. We don't track people down. We just stand and we offer the gospel truth. And only seekers are going to come for it. Only those who know the call of God's word is true. Holiness, righteousness, and obedience because of what Christ has done. The biblical gospel, folks. Don't lose your life following this culture. You're set for the wrath of God, neighbor. You got to turn and repent. You got to embrace what Jesus did, not turn away and reject it. All those that reject the truth by not obeying it, the church systems, the culture, they're deceiving themselves. Don't deceive yourself, sir. Pick up your Bible. Understand what Jesus did. Then Jesus said, pick up your cross, your stake, That's your wooden death device. It was a stake. He died on a tree. And follow him. Are you following him that way? That means, hey, let's talk about this here as people are walking by. When you are following Jesus and you pick up your death device, your stake, your hands are pretty full. You don't have much of a chance to be carrying anything else around. You don't have much of a focus for entertainment, sports, frivolity, other flesh. All your effort is focused on carrying your stake for the Lord. Your attention is on him. I used to be a bodybuilder, a vain, a wicked man. When I was working out, my focus was on the weights. If not, I could hurt myself bad. I'm going to ask Sister Amen about this. Hey, Sister Amen, I just had a thought as I'm out here preaching to people walking by. Pick up your stake, your cross. Imagine yourself, you're walking through this world, you're not carrying anything with you, but you got shopping bags, you got cameras, you got all kinds of things, your hands full of food at all these festivals, food. Jesus says, pick up your stake and follow me. If you had a literal stake in your hands, wooden beam across you, wouldn't you have to really totally focus on that? Gospel good news, sir. Test yourself to the word of God. There's a narrow path, sir. You're going to be judged by God unless you turn and repent. Wouldn't your hands be really full, Sister Amen?
Oh, yeah.
And your focus be on that, not dropping it, and focused on carrying it for the Lord. It just struck me how he gives us stuff to do. Go preach the gospel. Go be holy. Go live. Carry this. Yeah, what do we see all the American Christians?
Food.
Carrying the world. Pride, vanity. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. One thing I like about flying signs, we have a lot of time. It's peaceful, even with all the music and noise and traffic. We have a lot of time to alone, because a lot of times Sister and I stand a little bit apart, and then we come together and talk, but we're within sight of each other. 99.9% of the time, unless it's really safe, she might take a walk around a park or something. We have time to think, and we ponder these things. And it's pretty amazing how these things come to light. How when you're carrying a stake, a wooden beam, that gives you the idea that you've died to yourself. You've died to your flesh. And you're following Christ with all that you are. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're called to do, neighbor. If you're claiming to love God. But what do we see most American Christians doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, part of the culture, doing all kinds of false ways. This is not of God. You have to surrender your life and your will and be lost in that will of God, all for him, not doing what you desire. Maybe some more of those thoughts will come to me today. I'd like to make these audios and put them at the bottom of these preaches. Because, you know, the Word of God, let's talk about this. Gospel good news. Test yourself to the Word of God, folks. Let's talk about this. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. What does a sharp sword do? It cuts you. The sharp sword cuts you and makes you see the truth of God. And if you're not seeking the truth, you're not cut, you're not going to find the truth of God. All right? So, the Word of God is it's alive. It is. The Word is alive. What does this mean? When we talk about it a lot, it's alive, it's living. It's because one, Christ is the Word. He's alive and living. And it's living because of this. Ready? When you're a new Christian, you read it. It means one thing to you. After you've been a Christian for a while, you read it. It means a lot more to you. And things come open. Folks, you got to repent and seek after Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. You're seeking the world. Judgment's coming for the world and those that claim him without walking in holiness and righteousness. We love you enough to tell you the truth. Turn and repent and seek the kingdom of God. You're not seeking the kingdom of God out in the world doing foolishness, doing fleshly ways. You're not seeking Christ in spirit and truth. You're not walking in holiness. What are you walking in? Frivolous ways, flesh, carnality, false feelings of the season. Let's talk about this Christmas season. Let's talk about this Christmas season. So Christmas time has a spirit of the season. What is that spirit? It's a false spirit. It's not of God because God didn't ordain Christmas. Christmas is a Roman Catholic Satan-invented holiday. Comes along about the 3rd and 4th century, handed down to the evangelicals, and every other modern church system that calls themselves Christian does it. The Jehovah Witnesses are about the only ones I know of that got it right and don't do it. And they got a lot of other heresy, like Jesus isn't even God. So what you have to do is you have to test this to the Word of God and see that it's outside of His will. And you want to do God's will. God's will is that we keep His commandments. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, this is the duty of man, to fear God and keep His commandments. I have a question. Are you fearing God while you keep a bunch of false holidays? No. Are you fearing God while you practice Sunday dead false religion? No. Are you fearing God while you live like the world, Satan's system that is his enemy? No. How do you fear God? Well, you fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9. You fear God by obeying Him. Yeah, are you obeying God today, neighbors? Lest you obey God, you have no hope of salvation. Without holiness, no one will see God. Hebrews 12. Repent, Christ is holy. His people are holy. His people are set apart. That's what holy means. Set apart for the kingdom of God. That's the call today. Have you been set apart for the kingdom of God? Test yourself, neighbor. Loving you with the truth today.